good? This is Logan Murdoch here with from the Bay Area News Group. I'm here with my guy, Dieter Kurtenbach. A few hours after the Warriors had one of their, one of their most impressive wins of the season against Dallas, a 119-114 victory. What did you think of that, man?
I liked it. I mean, it was fun. It seems as if Dallas and the Warriors are going to play it out to the end every single game. This would be a fascinating playoff matchup. I'm not sure if the regular season carries over into the playoffs. There's a lot of stuff that changes. But, like, anytime you can watch Luka Doncic play, apparently, anytime the Mavericks and Warriors get together, it's a showdown.
Yeah, it's a showdown, and for some reason, Klay can't shoot the ball. We'll get to that in a second. But one of the biggest things that you said, you talked about Stephen Curry last night and,
right.
and your Warriors' big three big things. And Curry was phenomenal last night. He had 48 points. He had 11 3-pointers.
You don't say.
He was really good. He warranted you know, a lot of praise for that night, but – can you kind of explain your MVP take that you didn't know?
It's a pretty hot take, I'm not going to lie. James Harden, I think we can all agree after this sort of incendiary run he's been on, is the front runner for MVP. Him and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think I got that right.
There you go.
I've been practicing. Figure we're going to have to get it right at some point this year. But James Harden, it's a small sample size juxtaposition. But James Harden goes for 38 points last night. He was 1 of 17 from beyond the arc. And he had to make 15 free throws. It's unwatchable basketball. I'm sick of people praising it. I think it's like anti-sporting. They're reverse engineering scoring. It's really like it annoys me. No one goes to a game to watch a dude shoot 15 free throws. Now, Stephen Curry probably deserved a few more free throws than he got last night. But that dude dropped 48 with 3 made free throws. Like, he affected the game in so many more positive ways. It wasn't just getting box score numbers. I mean, beyond the great box score numbers. He was just... he was incredible, and it was joyful. I mean, that's the word that the Warriors like to use. It really isn't a better word for it. You just got to love watching that kind of basketball, and you compare that to what Harden does. It's kind of laughable to me. Like, I know valuable is a very ambiguous word, but it's laughable to me that, like, these guys are considered in the same category because I know which one I would rather go pay to see.
But I do think, and one thing that I kind of disagree with, while we do both agree, I think that James Harden is going to be the MVP this season,
Right now. If the season stopped today, I think James Harden would win it over Giannis.
Yeah, but I think from your argument is an aesthetically pleasing game. It's predicated on that.
Right. Let's also take into account, like, let's just get into the numbers here a little bit. Like, we've been talking, oh, James Harden's on this great 14-15 game run, and he's pulled the Rockets back from the doldrums. I mean, beginning of the season, who's going to be the Warriors' number one threat? The Houston Rockets. Okay, well, then we got like 3 weeks into the season. It's like, it is not going to be the Houston Rockets. They are not good. Chris Paul goes out. James Harden takes over. Rockets are right back where we kind of thought they would be. They're in the conversation. The narrative of that helps Harden's candidacy. But he's gone for like a 116 offensive rating over these last 15 or so games, and people are losing their minds. People are saying he's reinventing offensive basketball. I'm reading this stuff, and I'm like, do you not realize that Stephen Curry has a 117 offensive rating for the entire damn season? He has a 118 offensive rating after last night. Like, that's crazy. Those are numbers that teams have never done.
But here's the thing, and I'm looking at the numbers right now. He's averaging 29 points on 48%. And 45% from three-point range is comparable to the numbers that he had in his prior MVP seasons. But we both know that that MVPs aren't necessarily made on stats. They can be, but it's
narrative.
But it's always narrative. We talk about, a couple years ago, Russell had averaged a triple-double.
He didn't deserve it that year either. Harden deserved it that year.
Yeah, but it was based on narrative in lieu of stats. And I think that's what's going to happen here.
No doubt.
And also, it didn't help that Stephen Curry missed some time with injury. Never helps.
So. Listen, I mean, it's a weird situation. If we're having a conversation in the weird world where the season ends today, mm-hmm. Stephen Curry's not part of the conversation. But I think that we need to start including him in the conversation, even though he did miss that time. Because you look at what's going on in L.A. The Lakers are falling apart with LeBron out because LeBron's out. That's what happens when LeBron's out. And it's somehow bolstering his MVP candidacy. Well, what the hell did the Warriors do when Stephen Curry was out? They imploded
as
a team.
They literally fell apart.
They were at each other's necks, and they couldn't play good basketball, and they were lost. And Steph Curry comes back. And listen, a lot of that's playing the Knicks and the Bulls back-to-back and getting your groove back. But like, they've been playing objectively better basketball, even outside of those two games since he's been back. Now, it goes without saying, you bring Steph Curry back, you're going to be better, but they have their verve back. They feel like they're the Warriors again. I think they're about to click in. and you add Boogie into that, and it's going to be game over. You add Robin Lopez into that. I said last night that the odds should be minus 1,000 for the Warriors to win the title, because now you have filled all deficiencies in the best possible way. Like, Robin Lopez would start for this team and be awesome. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
We'll Nevertheless, like, if we're not talking about Stephen Curry as an MVP candidate, we're not talking about real, we're only playing the narrative game. Because Steph Curry's never going to be part of the narrative game for MVP, because people are not...
Anymore.
They don't feel good about the Warriors. Steph Curry used up all the goodwill, and then Kevin Durant shows up. And so Durant is going to always... Well, they have Durant, so he can't really be the MVP because they can do it without him. And this, Durant should be in the MVP conversation, too, with some of the numbers he's putting up. But fact of the matter is Steph Curry has been the most valuable member of a team that in a day or so could be, you know, the best team in the Western Conference. Everything is expectations versus reality. There were people who were saying this team was going to win 74 games. Steph Curry is doing as well, if not better, than he has ever done. Yes, the rest of the NBA has gotten better as well, but that's because he led the way. And what he's doing right now needs to be recognized as incredible, because last night he made 48 points look like child's play. I looked at the final, I didn't realize he had 43, which is not a great comment on the broadcast team of last night's game. Like, once you get over 40, you should probably let me know every point he scores. Yeah. But, like, I looked at the box score, I'm like, no way that dude had 48. Like, of course he had 30 because he made more than 10 threes. Like, I can do the simple math there. But, like, that dude was that layup away from 50. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He makes it look so easy. And we see a lot when, like, Kevin Durant does well, we see it looks hard. I mean, not for him, but, like, They're kind of drawn out, powerful possessions. Every one of them's a haymaker blow. Steph is just cutting and jabbing, and it's a totally different
bit of itty bitty daggers every single time.
Totally, it's the Floyd Mayweather versus Mike Tyson, and it was just incredible. I honestly had no idea he had 48 last night. That is stupefying. Because if James Harden had 48, it would feel like you had just eaten a 10-course meal and you're exhausted at the end of it. I don't know, man. I don't know why people aren't giving him the respect that he deserves.
Like, you think, but I mean, obviously, I think you might have made your point. Is it because it looks so easy on that could be working against him? Because think about it. I mean, when we talk about James Harden, it looks hard. You talk about
it is hard.
You talk about Russell Westbrook a couple years back. It's, we know we can put it. We can put a number on it.
It feels like an accomplishment, right?
Yeah.
Everything they do, Steph. It's like, why didn't he go for 60?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy like that. And then having sort of the contrast on his own team, I don't think helps. At the same time, like, I think you were right on. It's all narrative. It's not even numbers anymore. Everyone puts together great numbers. You can parse and cut up however you want. If you want Giannis, you're going to have the numbers there. If you want Durant, you're going to have the numbers there. Stephen Curry has all the numbers. He has none of the narrative right now. Maybe we can change that a little bit. I don't want to stand for the guy or anything, but like...
Too late.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are we doing here? Are we not going to recognize that Stephen Curry, who has completely changed the game of basketball, is still doing it? The dude has a 118 offensive rating. Like, that is not friggin' normal. Okay. Like, why are we pretending like this is normal?
I mean, because But it goes back to the point. It looks easy.
It looks easy. But it looks normal.
And so, I mean, going back to that... caught in the 48-point night... Was the final possession last night where? It wasn't the final possession.
It was the game winning possession.
The game winning possession where, you know it's desperate times when Steve Kerr goes to that pick and roll with Kevin Durant and Stephen Curry.
You know that's when
they really want this win. They go out down the stretch.
Everyone knows it, and they still can't stop it.
Yeah, so they do the pick. They do the pick and roll with Stephen Curry and Kevin Durant.
Well, they called it.
They called it. Well, they actually go for it, right? So Steph throws the ball to Kevin to initiate the interpick.
Because Steph Curry, world-class pick setter.
So I looked at this play over and over, and so Steph is throwing the ball into Kevin. You could see before the play.
Yeah.
You could see before that he's about to pass that Kevin's like, no, I don't want the ball. I'm good.
Yeah.
You take it. And he gives the ball back. And then Steph goes to work. They're obviously.
By the way, for James Harden, it's 42 dribbles and a step back with three dudes in his face.
It was four
for
dribbles.
Steph, it was four dribbles, and he just pulls up in Dorian Finney-Smith's face. And poor Dorian Finney-Smith couldn't even get a hand up. It was so fast.
Finney-Smith had a good game.
He did. He's a good player, but like,
nah.
That dude was cooked.
So he
and Durant sees that, right? Durant's like, you have Dorian Finney-Smith on you. You better take this ball.
Yeah. So, He hits the three, and obviously we know in this day and age of who takes the last shot or who does this about
there's only one ball, Logan.
There's legacy this, legacy that. What do you
legacies are made in Dallas in January.
What do you make of that play?
Well, I found it interesting because before that play happened, I was kind of complaining a little bit about the play calling choices that the Warriors were making. One, I didn't know that Stephen Curry had 48 points, which is an indictment on me. But I'm like, man, this is a really chippy game. Like, the Warriors didn't get to the line at all, and they were getting fouled plenty. I'm not one to complain about the whistles, but like, it was a home whistle.
Well, there was one thing where last night wasn't a open and shut win last night.
No.
Especially when I remember I tweeted out that Stephen Curry, they're undefeated when Stephen Curry goes for 10 threes, and he hit his 10th three, and I think they were down like three at that point.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, this might be their
you
first
You can't waste that. It would have been their second. He did it the first time he ever hit 10 threes in a game.
Oh, it was in New York. In New York against in 2013, you're right. But
the Steph Curry breakout game.
But it seemed like this was a hard-fought game.
Yeah, well, they went to the Hamptons 5 lineup with less than 5 minutes to go, and they
wrote another indicator that they really want to win.
Right, which is interesting because, like, for the first 42 minutes, did they want to win? But, like, I mean, Steph did. But I was kind of complaining about it because it was a chippy game. And it was kind of a playoff officiated game, at least for the Warriors on the offensive end, where just stuff that gets called wasn't getting called. Home court whistle is what it is. Happens for the Warriors as much as it happens against them. But I'm like, in a game like this, what do? You give the ball to Kevin Durant because – you can't stop Kevin Durant. Give it to him on the block. He turns around. He makes a 15-foot jump shot. Like, you get buckets. Mm-hmm. And you run it through Durant. This is what he's there for. It's the second kind of smoke. The free flow and stuff isn't working tonight, boys. Give it to KD. Let him cook on the baseline. And they just didn't do it. And that final play happens, and it's a pick and roll for Kevin Durant. And Kevin Durant's like, nah, I don't want it. Now, if you were a conspiracy theorist at the time, you'd be like, Kevin Durant doesn't want it.
Skip Kurtenbach.
Yeah, like you really get into it. But then we learn after the game that KD's changing the plays. Steve Kerr's calling plays for Durant, which I think is actually, I know some people were like, why were they calling plays for Durant? Steph was cooking. No. Durant needed the ball in those situations, and KD's like, we're riding the hot hand. And he's changing plays in the huddle so that the play now goes for Steph instead of KD. And then he calls him off in the final seconds. It's got to be encouraging for Warriors fans that they're figuring this out on the fly. And, like, we don't give Kevin Durant enough credit for his basketball skills or his basketball IQ because he's so impossibly long and talented and all this stuff. But, like, whoa. Like, that's pretty impressive that he's like, we got to ride the hot hand. Sometimes when he's the hot hand, he doesn't call it off.
I do want to get into this a little bit, like maybe on a deeper level, because we are in a psychiatrist's table right now.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm sitting on the couch.
What do you think this says about Durant in this context of, like, they've been through a lot this season, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's a little bit, right? How does it – do you think Durant is doing a subconscious thing where he's like, I'm just
– no.
Or do you think it's a basketball thing? I don't think there's a deeper meaning to this?
I don't think there's a deeper meaning to it. Now, listen, there might be. But, again, the first person to figure out Kevin Durant – let Kevin Durant know because he hasn't figured himself out yet. Like, it is what it is. Kevin's an inscrutable dude. So, like, trying to dive deeper into this on that, I think he just – he wants to win. And, like, last night was a good game. There was some energy to it. There was back-and-forth effort. And, like, the adrenaline kicks in. And it's like, well, what do we want to do? Yes, Kevin Durant would want the ball. But you also know Steph Curry's got this mismatch every single damn time down the floor. You got to take it. Because Luka Doncic is the Mavericks point guard, but he's, like, a small forward.
Yes.
Okay, so they had Draymond on him. They had Andre Iguodala on him. They had Klay on him, right? So they're also playing Jalen Brunson, rookie out of Villanova. And they're playing Dorian Finney-Smith. Like, Durant had fairly decent defenders on him time and time again. Steph never had a good defender on him all night. You ride the hot hand. He had it going. He was getting mismatches. That's good coaching.
So you don't think it's a bigger deal than what it's just a win in Dallas?
No. No. If Durant was trying to get one over and trying to prove his value over Curry or whatever,
maybe not value over Curry, but just –
If there was some weird dynamic in play there, we would have seen it against the Knicks and we would have seen it against Chicago because Curry had that big game last weekend. And then it's like, if Kevin really felt some sort of way about it, he'd be like, I got to respond. and he would have gone and ball hogged to 60 points against the Knicks or the Bulls. And he didn't do that. And I think that maybe he's the first guy to maybe flip the switch towards playoff mode. And we're seeing Draymond kind of kick it into gear a little bit here. I think he's in better shape now. I think that the...
He's playing phenomenal defense.
It's insane. He doesn't even need to play offense. I think he's gotten out of his head where it's like, I don't even need to do anything on offense. Just push the ball in transition, get the damn ball out of my hands, and penetrate when they don't guard me. Otherwise, just make sure I make my presence known on the defensive end, because Lord knows now that Clay is more or less out of his funk. He didn't have a good game last night, but he had a couple of pretty good ones in a row, and you can feel like he's back into it.
We're going to get to that in a second.
Yeah. Like, now that Clay is kind of pulling his weight a little bit more, you know Steph and KD are playing at superstar, you know, hyper elite levels, MVP levels. Like, Draymond doesn't need to do anything offensively. And Boogie's coming, so he can kind of push a little bit more, knowing that he's about to get a little bit of load off of his shoulders in the next couple of days, not having to play as many center minutes. I don't think there's anything weird about it. I do think it's difficult for Kerr, if I'm being totally honest, trying to balance it. Because if KD sometimes wants to ride the hot hand with Steph, like, Steve has to still divvy out, you know, minutes and touches and stuff. And if Kevin's kind of moody like this, like, that's got to be tough, because Steph is always just going to do what's asked of him. Like, he ran the pick and roll last night. Yeah. KD had to call him off. Sometimes KD
after he said, no, we're going to give it to you in the beginning. No, we're going to run the pick and roll.
Yeah, no, so whatever Steve said, no, screw that. Like, this is what we're doing. Like, that same dynamic doesn't necessarily apply to KD. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, it is what it is. So, like, I feel a little bit bad for Steve. He has to figure this out on the fly. But it seems like the Warriors know what they're doing on the floor, and that's the most important thing. If they can lock in on defense and they can figure themselves out on offense, and they're certainly there on offense right now, and I think the defense is just a little bit behind, like, it's game over.
Well, you were talking about Steve Kerr and the job he's doing. One thing that he did do last night was he took away the stagger in a way. He instead of going with Steph to start the second and fourth quarter, he went with
Clay
as the anchor with Livingston, Draymond, mm-hmm. Jarebko, and Iguodala.
Iguodala and the McKinney got some minutes in that rotation too.
Yeah, but in that specific lineup,
that's the start of the second quarter.
Yeah,
yeah.
They shot just 33% from the field, and they were -3 from the floor in the minutes that they played.
Yeah, Clay didn't have a good game last night,
and a lot of that had to do with Clay. But what do you think of that? I know they did that in.
Well, they started the season like that.
They started the season like that, but also Clay did not shoot well at all.
They were terrible. There's a reason they went away from
exactly.
it.
Exactly. What do you think of that? And a lot of that has to do with Boogie coming back, and they want to kind of massage the lineup for that. But what do you see about that?
I just think it's weird that people make such a big deal out of a Sunday night rotation with Boogie showing up on Thursday. Like, this is not a final product. Like, it was a little bit weird. This is kind of the overall state of the season, right? Like, Boogie's going to show up at some point, so none of this really matters, does it? Like, they're never going to be, to quote David Lee, full squad until Boogie's in here. And they might not even be full squad until after the buyout market's closed. But, like, yeah, no, this is, they're getting back to base, right? This is how they wanted to start the year. It didn't work, so they switched it up. I think they went to Durant as the fulcrum next, and then they went to Curry after that, and now they're back to you know, Clay being the second unit guy. I don't really put too much stock in Steph and KD minutes together versus minutes not together. I don't mind the second. I don't really care. I don't really care because it doesn't matter. What I care about is that second unit and who's running it, because the Warriors' first unit is going to have a 10 to 15 point advantage on anybody in the NBA. That second unit, like, can easily lose 10 to 15 points if it's not right. And at best, they're probably treading water. And they really haven't tread water much at all this season. So I'm interested to see. I mean, I don't think it even gave us a hint as to where Boogie fits into that lineup. Like, is he take Draymond's minutes?
No.
Is it Clay and Boogie?
Do you think Iguodala, maybe they bump out Iguodala and put Boogie in for that? Or, like?
But this is about the time of the year when you're supposed to ramp up Andre. Right. They can start getting them into.
Who do you see in that? Who do you see?
I mean, what the hell does this mean for the Hamptons 5?
Yeah.
Like, the Hamptons 5 is their best lineup. Who? The last couple of games, it's been their best lineup again. It sucked at the beginning of the season. And now you're like, by the way, here's DeMarcus Cousins. Figure this part out.
I don't know. I don't. We got to find a new name for that. It's not the Hamptons 5. It's like is it like the Vegas plus one? Like,
what are no, we? Yeah, we got. Yeah, we'll stop everything we're doing for the next week and figure this
stop
out.
Stop it.
We got until Thursday. This has got to go down. I don't. I, yeah, no. I mean, listen. we don't know what Boogie is. We've gone over this 1,000 times now. Like, no one knows if this guy's even usable. The Warriors say he is. I'd be interested to see when he has to go against Montrezl Harrell in the second unit of the Clippers on Thursday, or if he plays on Wednesday against the Pelicans at home. Like, hey, here's Anthony Davis. Have fun. He's going to get Zubac, who dominated the Warriors.
Zubac Alcindor.
Like, he's going to get some interesting center minutes to start, and it's going to take a little bit of time to ramp up. So we're not going to find out for months, because Boogie's not going to be able to play more than 20 minutes a game for months. So don't worry about the stagger. Don't worry about it. This is all unimportant. I am so over it. I'm reading these tweets all night, and like, I get it. Like, I guess there's feedback that's happening, and you're getting some immediate gratification from like constantly talking about the rotation. But like, it's not the playoffs. Who cares? Like, they're going to add a player who totally messes up the rotation on Thursday. Why do we care about like?
Well, Friday.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's this week. Like, who cares? I don't get it. And I never got it even beforehand, because like, if it works, it works. But like, micromanaging rotations in December just doesn't make any damn sense to me.
Here's one thing that I did want to talk about. And we've talked about Robin Lopez for a lot this podcast.
I keep bringing him up because I need Robin Lopez in my day-to-day life. He's the only positive thing about my Chicago Bulls, who are trying to kill me on a daily basis.
You almost cried in that game. Like, it was...
Logan has seen me plenty times extremely despondent.
That might have been the lowest point I've seen you at this season.
Yeah, and like, listen, I'm not rooting for either team. Like, obviously we have a certain affinity for the Warriors having to be around them and all this. I'm still super critical of them, but I'm also going to sing their praises because I do think they're a revolutionary team. The Chicago Bulls might be a revolutionary team too, and that's my childhood team. I don't really keep up with them on the day-to-day, but like, it still comes through in
my life.
Listen,
man, when you said who was 51...
I didn't say that. I told you who it was.
Oh, I know.
I told you who it was. Mark Spears is sitting next to us and he's like, who the hell is 51? NBA insider. And I'm like, it's Ryan Acadorinio.
Listen, you're at the point. We're at the point in Bulls history.
I got excited.
We're asking who was 51. And yeah. we're typing up famous 51s in NBA history.
He might be the best.
No, Metal World Peace is the best.
That 1 year. That 1 year in Los Angeles. No. Was it 1 year in New York?
Yeah.
That was a weird year.
But my question is,
want to talk about the Bulls anymore?
I don't want to talk about
it. I certainly don't.
We're going to talk about
Robin Lopez. So the Bulls come in and get their absolute asses kicked. Like, guys had minus 45 net ratings in that game, but Robin Lopez was like plus 12.
And he played like 15 minutes or
something. Yeah, because Jim Boylan definitely knows what he's doing.
But as far as Robin Lopez, and
this is a crazy report.
We got a report from
Chris Haynes
about that the Bulls do not want to facilitate a buyout. And I think
they'll give their coach an extension, but they don't want to facilitate the buyout.
They don't want to facilitate the buyout because they apparently don't want to give the Warriors any more. They've already given Jordan Bell. They're like, no, we're drawing the line now.
They learned their lesson from cash considerations.
What do you think of that? Let me ask you,
do you feel like the Bulls – listen – anything the Bulls do, I'm going to pan because they're the worst run organization in basketball right now. Robin Lopez wants out. I can only wonder why. Do you feel though, like he has a contract?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like he's entitled to a buyout from the Bulls? He's a veteran player, but like do the Bulls owe him to get out?
Sure. I mean, why not? I mean,
because they have young players and he's a veteran leader. And
I mean, I think if he's done right by them, they could do right by him. I think that the fact is, and also I just want to go back to the point of, I read Chris Haynes' report as of right now. They're talking that game right now. But let's talk.
Oh yeah, yeah. We've still got 2 months left.
Let's talk about do we have a date on the buyout? The
isn't it 1 month after the trade deadline?
Yeah. Exactly.
Where's Mark Medina?
Yes, exactly. Mark, where you at?
Let's call up Mark.
But now. They're talking that now, but what if they don't what if they don't get to trade him? What if they don't? No one. If he doesn't get any assets, they don't get any assets for him.
Well, this is the issue.
I read it as right now they won't do it, but
right now they won't buy him out, Tyson Chandler style.
Yeah,
that's still like the craziest storyline that we don't talk about. James Jones is like doing LeBron James a solid and letting Tyson Chandler.
Good. Hey bro, I got Tyson Chandler.
Whatever you need, LeBron. Thanks for the rings. Yeah, no, I get that. Like, and no one was like, oh, the buyout market's hot today. Like, it's, I would give up a second round pick if I'm the Warriors. Like, what the hell do you need that for?
You can buy one.
So you can get, yeah, go buy another one. What are you going to do? Draft another, you know, Jacob Evans the third?
Whoa!
Sorry. Bob Myers was entitled to a couple of L's, but took him in the first round.
You know what we need on this? We need sound effects. We need a, like, gunshot. Pow, 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 pow.
It's another drive-by in Oakland.
Oh, hey. Calm down.
That's where we're at.
Hey, man. Calm down.
I hear him. No. Yeah, the Lopez thing is weird, but, like, that should be the one guy that the Warriors lock in on.
Yeah.
Okay, Boogie comes back. That's fine. I don't think Boogie even fixes their center problem. He helps.
He doesn't fix it.
He doesn't fix it because, like, we saw what happened. Let's talk about Kevon Looney in that game against Dallas last night. Because my man got pushed around. He got pushed around left and right and played like crap.
Listen, man, I don't like how
he's entitled to a couple of bad games.
I'm just going
to
say this. You don't deserve these last couple of days that you're having because, one, Kevon didn't play well. No, the Bulls played bad.
All the other crap that's going on in my life. No, and you're like, plus Kevon's playing like crap.
The Bulls come in and just lay another egg, and then Kevon just plays his worst game of the season. Like, you don't deserve this, Dieter.
You're right, I don't. Now, Robin Lopez can make this all go away. Yeah, the Warriors don't see Kevon as a true center. And he's not a starting center. He's not a guy who's going to give you 30 at that position. I don't think he's a power forward either. I mean, like,
he's a good guy.
He's a good bench player who is now being to a certain point overextended. And Draymond is playing 20 plus minutes at center a night. Like, Boogie comes in, he takes a little bit of the load off, but, like, you can't just put it all on Boogie. I don't know if he was never that good of a defender to begin with. Like, he was clever, but he was never a good defender. He couldn't move that much, and now he's running on one bum wheel. Like, yeah, that ain't going to fix the problem. What you need is somebody who can protect the rim, hold his own in the paint, just an enforcer type. And we've talked about this time and time again. Zaza Pachulia would actually help this team right now. You just need 10 minutes out of a dude who's going to go in and be a brick wall. Robin Lopez is certainly a brick wall. He's also, like, this incredible team rebounder. Right, this is not a thing that shows up in the box score, but he boxes out so well that other dudes get rebounds. Like, when he's on the court, the team's offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds go up by double-digit percentage points because he's so good at clearing space. He'll take on 2-3 dudes, and then, you know, Steph Curry can come in and clear it out. Steven Adams is the other guy in the NBA who's, like, excellent at that. Robin Lopez is on this team. It plus Boogie, I mean, it's cheating. That's not fair. So I can understand why the Bulls are like, well, maybe we shouldn't let this happen. But I don't know. I mean, if I'm the Warriors, I'm willing to make a move to get over the
edge. What's the most you would give in a trade?
I think a second round pick.
That's the most you would give.
And I wouldn't put that many protections on it because it's always going to be at the end of the first. Like, I wouldn't be like, if it's number 30, you know, 60, then it, you know, transfer, you know, put it into this and that. Like, I'd just do next year's second round pick, flat out. You don't want it. You're probably going to buy him out anyway, but we're willing to, you know, make this easier for you because he's coming to us one way or another. We can make this painful or we can make this a little sweet. Let's do the sweet part. I know that's not how the Warriors want to operate. They don't want to give up anything for it.
I can't wait for you to...
I'm not even sure. I don't even think the contracts will work. So just forget everything I just said.
I think that, you know, you've been crying tears of pain with Kevon Looney. I think you'll be crying tears of joy.
There have been a lot of tears of joy. Kevon Looney's been playing great. He had a bad game last night. Sorry, now I'm getting defensive.
Yeah, you are. I mean, Alfonso did well last night. But
he was great.
Let's before we get out of here, we have, when this comes out, I believe, we have Denver Nuggets on the road. Big game for the Denver Nuggets and the Golden State Warriors for Western Conference supremacy.
There's no way that they can trade for Robin Lopez, by the way. That is a official statement from Dieter Kurtenbach. $14 million contract. That ain't happening.
We're talking about one of your other favorite centers, Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, so Jokic is the game that I always imagined that I could have. Doesn't jump.
It's the game that you have when you put a creative player on 2K. It's the exact same.
No, because in 2K, it's like, oh, I would like to pretend as if I can jump.
Oh, okay.
Like, all right. I can suspend disbelief. Like, Nikola Jokic has the ultimate chubby white dude game at the Y. Just works out of the high post, throws 8 assists out a game as a center. It's
Tom Barks out instructions as you get over there.
It's so good. He's one pair of rec specs away from the full kit. And it's going to be an issue, right, for the Warriors. Now, I know we were saying here a second ago, like, don't worry about anything because Boogie's coming back, this and that. But, like, Looney's going to get tested, and they're going to have to run Draymond a lot of minutes. I don't even know what you do with Jokic, who's going to get – he doesn't play like 40, but he'll play 30-something. It's a big rotation issue for Golden State. And these Nuggets are scrappy, man. I mean, you got Paul Millsap on top of that. You got just a –
Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray is playing out of his mind. Gary Harris is out. Now, I don't. He might be back for Tuesday's game. He may not. He's got a hamstring thing.
But so here's the thing, though. Considering injuries, this team has been playing pretty well, even with injuries. I mean,
you want to talk about a MVP guy who's not getting enough love? It's Jokic. Like, he's been playing outstanding.
Also on the low coach of the year.
Mike Malone.
Mike Malone.
Yeah.
Mike Malone.
It's funny how that works.
It's what. Yeah. You know what? That's a whole nother thing. I mean, obviously he's a great coach. We saw, I mean, he got a bad rap, not a bad rap, but he got a bad deal in Sacramento.
To say the least.
Just running pace wise. Oh, he can do that. And let's just look at him in Denver. He's coaching really well.
But yeah.
What do you make of this team and what do you make of this matchup?
I don't think that they're a true test for the Warriors in the playoffs. Like what would you think that series would go?
About five.
Yeah, I think five, maybe six. Yeah. Home court advantage might give Denver one. They don't scare me from the Warriors' perspective in the playoffs. I don't see a team in the West that really does.
No, I don't think
like
so.
Like Oklahoma City, maybe?
Maybe.
If Russ gets his act together?
Maybe.
I don't know. Like, it ain't the Lakers.
I will say this, though. I mean, the Lakers, I mean, we have to see with LeBron in the lineup. I mean, we have to see how they
he's
are.
He's only one man.
I mean, he's one of the greatest men to ever put him on.
No question. Not the greatest. But, like, what I'm saying is Denver's number one right now in the Western Conference. I don't know if they play when we're tonight or not. Doesn't matter. Warriors half a game behind them. Like, it's so interesting, too. I think Matt Moore of
Action Network? Action Network. Yeah. Shout out Matt Moore.
You saying last night, like, everyone's talking about, wow, the Nuggets are incredible, 29-13. Like, what a great season, first in the Western Conference. Man, the Warriors really suck. Like, they're really underachieving. Everything is expectations versus reality in life, and the Western Conference is the best example of that. Like, I would say Oklahoma City's probably the number one test, but again, when the Warriors are on, no one's playing with them. I mean, it's a joke. So this is a good confidence boost game for Denver. If they can win at home, it's always hard to win in Denver. Warriors' first game of a back-to-back, so who knows what that's doing in their heads. They don't have, I would argue, the personnel right now to blow this team out just because Jokic is a beast. Denver's going to come in. They're going to be scrappy. They're playing really hot. They're 8-2 in their last 10.
Like, don't you think this could be a statement game for the Warriors? This might be something that they're looking at it as.
Yeah. Do you get the same vibes that you had before that game against Milwaukee?
The statement game. Yeah. I was about to say that. No, I don't get the ones of the home game.
Those were bad vibes.
Yeah, no, I do. I think that they won a couple games at home, but it was the Knicks and the Bulls. They beat the crap out of them.
Yeah.
This was a pretty good win against Dallas. I think they want to finish this off. Just finish this little run off. Just to kick some ass before
they come and lose at home to the Pelicans.
Yeah, and I don't think that they. And I've also been on record. I think that they lose that Lakers game on next Monday. And I think that you
– I don't think that has anything to do with the Lakers. I think that they would lose to a local 8th grade team on Monday.
Crenshaw Middle is will beat the Warriors.
USC's B team is coming in to play. I think it's a statement game for both teams. But I'm done predicting that the Warriors are going to make a statement on anything.
I will say this. I think that we will find out within the first 5 minutes of what the Warriors are feeling. I think this is one of those
games. Did you get that vibe against Dallas, though? I did not pick up that vibe. I thought that they were kind of they played really well out of the gate, and then they started coasting again.
Well, here's the thing. Dallas isn't on the same level as Denver or Milwaukee.
Aren't they?
Huh?
I mean, listen, I'm looking at the standings.
My thing is this.
There's not as much of a preconceived notion.
Yeah, so the Warriors went into that Milwaukee game carrying, like, this is the game.
They had to do something.
They had to do something. And you could tell.
Does that apply to this game?
I think so.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I don't think that the Warriors are. Well, Denver beat them earlier this year, but it wasn't one of those games where it was like, wow, they embarrassed us. We got to get back at them.
No, it came down to the last shot.
Exactly. And, like, they've lost to the Nuggets a lot over the last couple of years, and it hasn't mattered. I mean, they haven't played in the playoffs again, but, like, their general notion is, like, they're not for real. We know Denver is going to try to prove that they're for real. I don't think the Warriors get motivated by smacking down insurgents anymore. I just don't think they do.
What teams do you think they get up for?
Teams that kicked their ass before. And Houston. Don't like Houston.
They don't like Houston. We'll see if they play Toronto again, because remember, they got their ass kicked against Toronto.
Right. They play in middle of February. Is that right?
Who?
End of this month? Or, I don't know. When do they play the Raptors again? That would be.
No, that's game. Done. It's over. Remember,
it's done? Oh, damn.
Yeah, because it was the Durant shot, and then they played and
that is 1,000%
and Oracle
correct.
And got their ass kicked in Oracle.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like it was just. It
damn,
was
that was a good game on that overtime game.
That was probably one of the best games.
That was one of the best games. Last night, like, didn't feel like everyone was like, "Oh, that was one of the best games." Like, it was. The one thing I don't think we talked about it, like Draymond and Andre in the final 5 minutes of that game last night were insane.
They went on an 11-1 run after that to end the game after that Draymond flagrant foul.
It was stupefying how good they were on defense, and I think Andre blocked the shot before Draymond, but that's not important. So otherwise, it would have been goaltending.
So your final verdict on this one before we get out of here is this is not a game that the Warriors get up for, and do you think that they win the game?
So much is contingent on their mood.
I know.
Like, how am I supposed to – these inscrutable sons of bitches, like, I can't figure them out. I think this game is going to be similar to Christmas. I'm not saying the same outcome, but a lot of the same vibes, right, where the Warriors come out and both teams are going to be swinging hard from the get-go. I'm interested to see if the Warriors are at all interested in counterpunching if the Nuggets start pulling away a little bit, if they go on a run, if the Warriors decide, okay, now we're going to go on a run, and they get into a back and forth. Because what we've seen so far this season is Warriors come out, play great ball, other teams scrapping, they fight back.
I mean, that happened the other night in Dallas, or last night in Dallas.
Right.
They were up.
And this is how it goes. Warriors, and it's literally a example of their season. Start the season 10-1, then they just go, we're good. And then stuff happens, and they're like, yeah, do we want to even bother? And then maybe, you know, right now they're like, I guess we'll give it a little bit of, we'll give a little bit of an ass. Like, the other thing too is, I mean, they're on the road a lot. I do think that they are intrigued to find out kind of what they're made of for the first time this season. So maybe that's it. Maybe this road trip is good for them in the sense of it's kind of put up or shut up time, and then they can kind of coast into the All-Star break and then coast into the playoffs and put it on for the last couple of games. I mean, maybe that's the narrative arc of this season, but I'm done betting on the Warriors caring. If the Warriors care, they win. Straight up. I don't know if it's a blowout or anything, but if the Warriors care, they win. If they don't care, as they haven't for about 75% of the games this year, anyone's a guess. What do you got?
I told you, I'm taking that drug again. I believe in the Warriors tomorrow. I think that they're going to come out with an effort.
I have overdosed on that drug too many times.
Well, there you have it. I am Logan Murdoch. This is Dieter Kurtenbach.
Hi.
Thanks for listening, man. We will see you guys on Thursday. We will be doing a podcast after the
after the Pelicans game on Wednesday.
We're going to get you all the way ready for Boogie's return, all that stuff. This will be the last time we have any Boogie.
Maybe we will be going over Boogie's return. Ooh. Keep your ear to the streets, Logan.
My third eye is closed right now, but I will open it up. But until then,
I want to know where that eye is.
You don't.
That's disgusting.
Until
family podcast.
We will talk to you then. Peace.